follow us on Twitter at VoiceAmericaTRN. Get the lowdown on guests, new shows, and your favorites. That's VoiceAmericaTRN.
The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit VoiceAmericaVariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live Internet talk radio. Visit VoiceAmerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the hosts or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Sex Out Loud is brought to you by The Smitten Kitten, non-toxic quality sex toys and supplies. Visit smittenkittenonline.com.
Smart. Sexy. Kinky. Fun.
Welcome to Sex Out Loud with your host, sex educator, author, and filmmaker, Tristan Taramino. It's sex-positive radio like you've never heard before. Tristan talks about sexuality from every angle with leading authors, experts, artists, and icons. From sex education and sexual politics to BDSM and non-monogamy, nothing is off limits. So get ready to open your mind and expand your horizons. This is Sex Out Loud. And now here's your host, Tristan Taramino.
Welcome to Sex Out Loud. My guest today is renowned sex therapist, Dr. Marty Klein. Now, when I put the call out to listeners on Facebook and Twitter that I was going to pre-record a show with a renowned sex therapist and they could ask him questions, I was flooded, and I mean flooded, with emails, which tells me that a lot of you really want to talk to a sex therapist. And I'm really glad I have a great one today. Dr. Marty Klein is a licensed marriage and family therapist and certified sex therapist. A former instructor at Stanford Medical School, he is the award-winning author of 7 books and 8 sets of training CDs. His new book is Sexual Intelligence: What We Really Want from Sex and How to Get It. Marty regularly appears in the popular media, such as the New York Times, Newsweek, NPR, and Nightline. For 12 years, he has written and published Sexual Intelligence, the blog, and electronic newsletter. Marty is outspoken about many popular and clinical ideas about sex, decrying psychology's gender stereotypes, sex negativity, and what he calls the Oprahization of therapy. He's also America's best-known voice opposing the sex addiction movement. He has also been called the Steve Jobs of sex, so we're pretty lucky to have him today. Welcome to Sex Out Loud, Dr. Klein.
Thank you.
So I really, really love your new book, Sexual Intelligence, and I think basically everyone should read it. It's full of pretty provocative prescriptions, though. For example, one of the things you write is, if you want to enjoy sex, stop looking for romance or spontaneity, which I think would freak a lot of people out. You actually propose a deceptively simple concept for how people can achieve more sexual satisfaction. And it involves a kind of radical acceptance and a reframing of sex. Can you tell us more about the basic concepts in sexual intelligence?
Well, you've given me just a great introduction, Tristan. I really appreciate that. And you've really described the book so nicely. What I talk about in this book is, what is sex really like for most people? People are asking me all the time, you know, is this normal? Is that normal? What do people do? Here's what's true about sex. You know, most adults have sex when they're tired. Most adults have sex with imperfect bodies. Most adults have sex when they don't spend hours and hours and hours doing it. So if we're going to make sex better, if we're going to get more satisfaction from sex, we need to be more realistic. We need to make a little bit of room in our lives for the way that it really is and be able to talk about it with our partners in an honest and straightforward way. And just to take one example, as you said, forget about spontaneity, right? I mean, most adults don't do anything spontaneously anymore. Most adults, you know, if after our interview I say, by the way, let's go bowling this afternoon, you'd say, no, I can't. I got plans. Exactly. So things like believing that sex has to be perfect and believing that only perfect bodies are really eligible for good sex and believing that sex has to be spontaneous, those are the kinds of things that people have to let go of so that they can focus on creating sex in the real world and enjoying it.
Yeah, you know, I think people are constantly looking for this idea of spontaneity. You know, I call it the sort of Hollywood image of we're going to let the food burn on the stove and just have sex right here in the kitchen.
Right.
And
right.
It's just not realistic when people have jobs and social lives and relatives staying at their house and kids and really busy, stressful lives. I think, you know, most people today would say we actually have to eat dinner and let's not burn the food. And wow, this kitchen counter is really uncomfortable.
Yeah, you know, there's a great scene in Basic Instinct, if you remember back to that movie, where Michael Douglas and Glenn Close, they're really hot for each other. They haven't had sex yet, and they're just dying to have sex with each other. Excuse me. And they race back to Michael Douglas's house. They're so excited they can't even make it into the bedroom. She sits in the kitchen sink, and they have sex while she's in the kitchen sink. And I think for most people, you'd be getting a butt full of broken dishes if you did that.
Right.
But
right.
In this movie, magically, you know, not only are there no dirty dishes in the sink, but the sink is nice and clean, and there's nothing on the counter. And so, but let me say one thing about spontaneity. Let's talk about a picnic for a second. If I said to you, let's go for a picnic this afternoon, you'd say, I'm sorry, I can't do that. I have plans. We would have to make plans in advance, and not only for the day that we were going to be having a picnic, but we'd have to talk about, okay, who's going to bring the sandwiches and who's going to bring a blanket and which one of us is going to bring the drinks and so on. There'd be nothing spontaneous about that. Once we got to the park where we were going to have a picnic, we could eat first or not. We could play Frisbee or not. We could just lay on the grass and or not. We could go for a walk around the park or not. All of the planning that we would do would allow us to then be spontaneous once we got there. And sex can be like that. The spontaneity that is available from sex comes from the planning. So you plan that you have your birth control supplies if you need them in advance. You have your lube within hand's reach. You know, you lock the door. You made your sex date in advance. You do all of that. You take your tampon out or, you know, you do whatever you need to do. You go to the bathroom first. You get a glass of water on the night table. You do whatever you need to do. Then you can do things in whatever order you want to do them. You can have oral sex or not. You can kiss and hug or not. You can put a finger in your partner's nose or not. You can do whatever you want to do. So the spontaneity is possible, but perhaps on a different scale than some people dream of.
Well, I think that's a really good point. Now, in the book, you're also kind of critical of sex how-to articles, books, and workshops, which I teach, that teach people sexual positions and techniques. In that, you write that that's not what's going to help people, most people, have better sex. Why do you think those things aren't helpful?
Well, if you ask most people what they want from sex, it's not another position. If you talk to people about what they're frustrated about sexually, or what's getting in the way of them relaxing and enjoying sex, it's not that their penis isn't doing what they want it to do or their vulva is not doing what they want it to do. What's really going on for most people is about the quality of the experience. And we live in sort of a technical age, and I think that people assume that the way to have better sex is to get your genitalia to jump through hoops. You know, get your penis bigger, get your vulva wetter, have a bigger orgasm. But that's really not what does it for most people. What does it for most people is more relaxation and more of a sense of connection and more of a sense of self-acceptance. These are very sort of vague things. Whereas something like, I want a better erection, you know, that's measurable, it's observable, and you can compare your erection this week to your erection last week. And so what most self-help focuses on is getting the genitalia to behave differently, or quote-unquote better, getting the genitalia to behave differently or better. And if people don't feel relaxed, having a better erection is not going to help. If somebody doesn't believe that their partner really cares about their experience, having a wetter vulva is not going to do it. So my complaint about a lot of self-help and my complaint about a lot of workshops and my complaint about 99 new positions for sex is that it doesn't really address the thing that people need addressed during sex. And that's not how to make the bodies behave in different ways. It's how to reshape the experience so that people feel more comfortable, more self-accepting, more of a sense of humor, have more of a sense of flexibility, have more of a sense of, you know, whatever happens this afternoon, it's probably going to be okay.
Well, you know, that reminds me of another thing that comes across really clearly in your book, which is that as a sex therapist, these couples come to you and say, we have a sex problem. And then you spend a lot of time actually not talking about sex. And you have these amazing case studies, which you talk about, which I really love. And they're really rich and vibrant. But also, it points to how their sex problems aren't about sex. It's about all of these other things going on.
Well, it's really true. People come into the office. Now, you know, I am a sex therapist, but I also do marriage and family therapy and individual psychotherapy. When people come in and they don't want to talk about sex, that's when I want to talk about sex. But when people come in, but when people come in and they want to talk about sex, I want to know what else is going on. I want to know, when was the last time you guys went out to dinner together? When was the last time you guys went for a walk around the block together? When was the last time you saw each other naked when you were relaxed? So people come in and, I mean, here's a real simple example. People come in and they say, we never have sex. Why is that? Well, I like it in the morning and she likes it at night and we can never get together on when to have sex. I say, well, that's interesting. What do you do when you go out to dinner and when you, and you're ready to go out to dinner and one of you says, I want Chinese food and the other one wants Italian food? And some couples say, oh, that's the biggest problem in the world for us. We never get to go out to dinner without having an argument first. And I say, well, if that's the case, then it's no surprise that you can't decide when to have sex together. On the other hand, some people say, oh, here's how we do that. We take turns, or we always do it this way, or whatever it is. I say, well, I wonder what's keeping you from using those same skills when the arena is sexuality. So that sort of contextualizes the sexual decision-making as part of real life. And,
right.
And I think that's really helpful for people.
And I think another thing that you do in your book is really try to reframe sex for straight couples to challenge their investment that sex is always and always has to be intercourse.
Right.
And whenever I suggest this to people, they act like I'm insane. So I want to know, how can the everyday person out there begin to do that, begin to reframe this idea that sex could be a bunch of different things?
Well, you know, different people do that in different ways. But the first thing that I do in the office is I interrupt people whenever they use the word sex when they mean intercourse. You know, in my office, if you mean intercourse, you've got to say intercourse. People say, oh, that's such a clumsy word. Well, you know, you can call it whatever you like. You could use lots of euphemisms that we're not going to use on the radio right now, but people need a vision that not only is does sex not include only intercourse, but it includes a lot of things that don't even involve orgasm or don't even involve genitalia. I'm a pretty practical person, but I do believe there's such a thing as sexual energy, right? I mean, everybody has experienced that one way or another, and that's really the definition of sexuality. You know, it's the experience or the movement of erotic energy, and sometimes that'll involve intercourse, sometimes not. Sometimes that'll involve genitalia, sometimes not. Sometimes kissing can be really, really, really sexual, other times not. And with different people, it takes a different amount of time for them to get it. For some people, I just have to pound them week after week after week about this. That's why it's so helpful to charge a lot of money for therapy, because people are really motivated. Because we already talked about this last week. I said, well, until you get it, we're going to keep talking about it.
That's one technique. Okay, well, we're going to take a break, but when we come back, we will talk more about what it's like inside the mind of a sex therapist. And I'm going to give your questions to Dr. Marty Klein and see if he can help some of you listeners with solutions. More Sex Out Loud when we return.
Streaming live, the leader in internet talk radio, VoiceAmerica.com.
This is Jennifer Pritchett from the Smitten Kitten. We're huge Tristan Taramino fans just like you, and we're so proud to be the presenting sponsor for Sex Out Loud. If you're not already familiar with Smitten Kitten, here's the deal. We're an education-based sex toys and supplies retailer. We sell high-quality, non-toxic, and artist-made sex toys, organic lubes, and all kinds of kinky stuff, including hard-to-find vegan options. We cater to an incredibly diverse clientele and specialize in helping you find new sexual interests, expand your sexual skill sets, and even troubleshoot sexual issues with you. We are here to help you feel confident and sexy. We spend a ton of time and energy curating our selection of products to make sure we have the best selection, be it silicone dildos, pegging and strap-on equipment, vibrators, or ethically made porn. Our mission is to make sex-positive culture accessible to everyone. Don't miss our free streaming explicit educational videos, many of which were directed by Tristan herself, on our website, smittenkittenonline.com. Get inspired by Tristan's amazing show, Sex Out Loud, and then visit us online at our Minneapolis location.
Ready to take your sex life to the next level? Let Tristan Taramino's award-winning expert guide sex education series help. Each DVD is packed with honest information, explicit techniques, scorching sex scenes, authentic chemistry, and real female orgasms. Go to puckerup.com and use coupon code SEXOUTLOUD for 25% off your order.
Looking to add something fun and different to your sexual experiences? Then try Astroglide X, premium silicone personal lubricant. Astroglide X contains a unique blend of high-quality silicones that provide a silky smooth experience unlike any other. Astroglide X is also waterproof and perfect for water play. Not only does Astroglide X last longer than all water-based products and is hypoallergenic and latex safe, it's even great for massage. For more information and a free sample, visit astroglide.com.
News, opinion,
hear me.
Your voice counts. Call toll-free 1-866-472-5787. 1-866-472-5787. VoiceAmerica.com.
You're tuned in to Sex Out Loud with your host, Tristan Taramino. We want to hear from you. If you have a question or comment, please send an email to Tristan@puckerup.com. That's Tristan@puckerup.com. Now back to the show.
Welcome back to Sex Out Loud. I want to thank my fabulous sponsor, the Smitten Kitten, a progressive sex toy store for everybody. Check them out at smittenkittenonline.com and use the coupon code Tristan for 20% off. We are talking with renowned sex therapist, Dr. Marty Klein, and tons of you sent in your questions for Marty when I said, hey, do you have a question for a sex therapist? So I want to dig into some of these questions, Marty, which are actually quite, you know, interesting and involved. I'm going to start with the first one, which is, my husband has absolutely no sex drive. He never did. We've been together since our very early 20s and went from sex less than once a month to none at all in our 40s and 50s. I spent a long time thinking it was just me, but he's not sexually attracted to anyone. We've been to therapy, but he didn't continue, and he was checked out by a urologist who specializes in men's sexual health. His testosterone, everything else, was normal. So what could cause this? He's cool with me seeing other people, and I have a polyamorous relationship outside of marriage, but I'm very lonely within the marriage.
Well, I'm very sympathetic about that situation. And I do see that in the office periodically. But, you know, one of the interesting things in that description is she says that this was a problem from the beginning. This was a problem from the beginning. And people end up like this a lot, whether it's about sex or whether it's about money or anything else. You know, couples come in and they'll say, we fight about money all the time. I want him to make a lot of money, and he doesn't want to make a lot of money. And I say, well, when you first got together, what was it like? And she'll roll her eyes and say, oh, even at the beginning, you know, before we even got married, he didn't even want to own a car, and he said, I'll never own a house because they're too much trouble. And I say, well, you know, what did you think was going to happen? And the answer is always the same, whether it's about a huge sexual disparity at the beginning or a big disparity about money at the beginning or a big disparity about religion at the beginning, the answer is always the same. We were in love and we thought it would all work out. And that's what this woman is saying. You know, I married someone who is not nearly as interested in sex as I am, and I'm in a lot of pain about it. And if you ask this person, well, what did you think was going to happen? I bet she would say, well, we were in love and we got along so well and I knew he would be a great father. And so I thought, well, you know, this will just work out. Well, this is the way it worked out. And this is the way that it works out. If you couple up with somebody who has a dramatically different interest in something that's really, really important to you, whether it's sex or children or religion or money or anything else, this is the way it's going to work out. You're going to feel lonely. And,
but I was struck, okay, but I want to interrupt right there because that's the part of the letter that really got me. I'm very lonely within the marriage. And to me, I thought, how is sex going to solve that? I mean, does she think sex will solve that entirely? Because being lonely can mean a lot of things.
Well, it can mean a lot of things. And we would have to ask this woman a lot of questions. I mean, I ask a lot of questions before I say anything smart. But what I assume she means, now I would ask her, I would never make this assumption without checking it out if she were in the office. What I assume she means is, sex is an activity in which I explore the universe or I explore myself, and I can do that real nicely with other people. But, you know, I'd really like to do it with my life partner. And if I'm not doing it with my life partner, I feel like there's something missing in my life. And, you know, I can be very sympathetic about that. And I don't think it's that she needs better sex. She's in a poly situation, so she's having at least sex. If it's not good sex, I assume she's enjoying it. But whether she's enjoying it or not, she's having sex, right? What she's missing is that whatever it is that she's getting from sex, she's not getting it with her life partner, and that's the thing that's painful for her. It would be the equivalent of you play tennis four times a week, and, you know, it's the most wonderful, life-affirming, nourishing thing in the world for you, and your partner says, that's great, honey, go have a good time, and you feel like, oh, it would be so nice if I could just do that with the person who's the most important person in the world to me. And I'm very sympathetic that somebody's going to feel lonesome under those conditions. Having better sex is not, you know, what she needs. You know, what she needs is to feel she has other vehicles with which to feel really close to her partner and explore the world with her partner. And, you know, that may involve something else entirely, travel or grandchildren or whatever it is. Whether that will scratch her itch, probably not.
Yeah, we don't know. But I thought the same thing, that I wonder if she can address some other issues in that primary relationship that will make her feel nourished, and she can sort of focus on what they have versus what they don't have. Because I don't know that her partner is going to change at this point if they're in their 50s.
He absolutely won't. I mean, I'd bet my house on that. I mean, they've already done the whole range of exploration, and the answer is this is the way the guy is.
Okay, so our next question, I just want to give a little trigger warning to people out there, because this is about something that could trigger people, so you can turn down your radio for the next 5 minutes if you want. This one starts, I love power play and tend to be quite submissive. I'm in a relationship with a really amazing man who's the first person I've told my fantasies to and acted out any sort of power play with. He was a little hesitant being rough with me at first, but he came around and ended up tying me up, being rough, and a bit dominant. Then I mentioned to a friend that I think part of my fascination with power play is using it as an outlet to deconstruct my work with sexual assault victims and prevention, and to deconstruct my own past rapes. By creating a scenario where I feel vulnerable, but I'm ultimately in control, I feel safer somehow. I don't know whether I should tell my partner this, because he might stop doing the things that really turn me on, like holding me down, tying me up, choking me, if he knows. Okay, so this, to me, I have to, before you answer, this really made me think of one of the key ideas in your book, which is sex isn't just an activity, it's an idea. It's something we assign all these meanings to, and sometimes that can trip us up. Am I right?
Absolutely.
So what would you say to this person? Do you think she should share this piece of it with her partner?
What I would say to this person is that this is not entirely a sex question. This is a question about the relationship. I mean, this is a similar question to, I make a lot of money in my job, and my partner loves the fact that I make a lot of money in my job. What my partner doesn't know is that the reason that I work so hard and make a lot of money in my job is because I'm trying to prove to my father that I'm as good as he is. Or I'm trying to prove to my father that I'm as good as my dead brother. And should I tell my partner? If I tell this to my partner, will they continue to support me working hard and making a lot of money, or will they say, oh, that's a bad reason to go make a lot of money and stop supporting me? So that wouldn't be a money question. You know, and this is not so much a sex question. This is a question about how much do I want to share who I am with my partner, and do I trust that my partner is going to accept who I am, and what are the ground rules in the relationship? You know, do we judge each other or as we learn about each other, or do we accept each other as we learn about each other? And the topic just happens to be sex in this particular question, but it could be any number of things. And what I would say to this woman is, you need to get the ground rules of the relationship straight. You need to have a conversation with your partner about, so what's the deal with, revealing more information about ourselves to each other? I mean, is there stuff that I could tell you that would make you go away? Is there stuff that I could tell you that would change your opinion about who I am? Is there stuff that I could tell you that would make you feel like, if that's the reason that you like what you like, then maybe I'm going to take it away from you.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think I would add to that she has gotten to a place where she can be quite transparent with her partner about her sexual fantasies. And that seems like it's new, because she said this is the first person I've shared these fantasies with. And so she's been vulnerable in that space. And now she kind of wants to take it one step further. And she's a little bit afraid, I think, of, oh my God, am I going to mess this all up by going even deeper or revealing what I think is a really fascinating, you know, piece of self-awareness, actually, about your own sexual desire. It's quite, I think it's, you know, it's actually valuable and interesting. And I know if my partner came to me with something like that, I would be like, wow, this is a really big piece of insight and a piece of work you've done on yourself. But those can seem scary to people, I guess, scarier than saying, I want you to tie me up.
Yeah, because I want you to tie me up. The answer is going to be yes or no. But when someone says, let me tell you about who I am, that has much bigger ramifications. And again, I think that this kind of dynamic goes on whether the subject is sex or not. People wondering, if I tell you more about who I am, will you go away? If I tell you more about how I think or how I put things together, will I lose what I have? So, relationships are not for the faint-hearted.
Right. That's a good lesson as well. And probably either is sex. Okay, we're going to take another break, and we are going to hear from our sponsors, including WeVibe, the world's best-selling couples vibrator, which is not scary at all. Go to we-vibe.com to find out all about it. And when we return, more of your questions and sex therapist Dr. Marty Klein's answers. So stay with us.
News, opinion,
hear me.
Your voice counts. Call toll-free 1-866-472-5787. 1-866-472-5787. VoiceAmerica.com.
Turn off the TV and pick up the remote control that is sure to please. Worn while making love, the WeVibe 3 features whisper quiet motors that will keep you anything but quiet. We can't help it if the rechargeable battery lasts longer than you do. Learn more about the world's number one vibrator for couples at WeVibe.com. WeVibe. Share the pleasure.
This is Jennifer Pritchett from The Smitten Kitten. We're huge Tristan Taramino fans just like you, and we're so proud to be the presenting sponsor for Sex Out Loud. If you're not already familiar with Smitten Kitten, here's the deal. We're an education-based sex toys and supplies retailer. We sell high-quality, non-toxic, and artist-made sex toys, organic lubes, and all kinds of kinky stuff, including hard-to-find vegan options. We cater to an incredibly diverse clientele and specialize in helping you find new sexual interests, expand your sexual skill sets, and even troubleshoot sexual issues with you. We are here to help you feel confident and sexy. We spend a ton of time and energy curating our selection of products to make sure we have the best selection, be it silicone dildos, pegging and strap-on equipment, vibrators, or ethically made porn. Our mission is to make sex-positive culture accessible to everyone. Don't miss our free streaming explicit educational videos, many of which were directed by Tristan herself, on our website, smittenkittenonline.com. Get inspired by Tristan's amazing show, Sex Out Loud, and then visit us online at our Minneapolis location.
Ready to take your sex life to the next level? Let Tristan Taramino's award-winning expert guide sex education series help. Each DVD is packed with honest information, explicit techniques, scorching sex scenes, authentic chemistry, and real female orgasms. Go to puckerup.com and use coupon code SEXOUTLOUD for 25% off your order.
Stay connected.
Sign up for our newsletter.
Go beyond your favorite Voice America shows. Visit iRadioBlog.com.
You're tuned in to Sex Out Loud with your host, Tristan Taramino. We want to hear from you. If you have a question or comment, please send an email to Tristan@puckerup.com. That's Tristan@puckerup.com. Now back to the show.
Welcome back to Sex Out Loud. My guest today is sex therapist Dr. Marty Klein. We're talking about his new book, Sexual Intelligence, and I am shooting over your questions and seeing what his answers are. Okay, Dr. Klein, the next question from a listener is, I heard a phrase once that I thought was very accurate. Men are like microwaves and women are like ovens. Do you have any suggestions about getting my woman and I both on one side, either microwave or oven? It just seems we're so different in the bedroom. There you go.
I'm happy to answer this question. This is a real softball for me, Tristan. I don't agree. I don't agree. I don't agree. I don't agree. And furthermore, I don't agree. This whole idea that men and women, that when it comes to sex, they're completely different species, they're completely different, it's just not so. It's just not so. Men and women, for the most part, I'm not talking about teenagers now, I'm talking about grown-ups. Men and women, for the most part, want the same things from sex. They want to feel appreciated. They want to feel attractive. They want to feel connected. They want to feel relaxed. They want to feel like they can have pleasure without having to pay for it in some way. They want to feel graceful. And, of course, different people want different things, but it mostly does not break down along gender lines. There's a lot of things that don't break down along gender lines. People say, you know, women are more in touch with their feelings, men are not in touch with their feelings. That's not my observation. My observation is that a lot of people are not in touch with their feelings, and some of them are men and some of them are women.
And which is why you have a job.
Which is why I have a job. And when people come into the office and both of them agree, she's the emotional one and he's the not emotional one, and then you see that half of his decisions are driven by his emotions, by his unwillingness to admit how he feels or by his desperate need to feel manly or whatever it is. You know, the whole idea that he's not an emotional creature just goes right out the window. So, you know, when it comes to this, how people get into the mood or how frequently they want to have sex. When someone says to me, you know, my partner is slow to get aroused or my partner is quick to get aroused, I have no idea what gender their partner is. And what I say to people is that you need to talk to your partner more about what they like and who they are and then find ways to mesh the two people together. I think that over generalizing and ghettoizing you're like this and I'm like that, categorizing you're like this and I'm like that, does not help. It makes things worse. It oversimplifies how people are. There are circumstances under which people who are slow to get aroused, they get aroused more quickly. There are circumstances under which people who are quick to get aroused, it takes them a lot longer. So, I mean, you can take a microwave kind of a person, if you want to use that language. You can take a microwave kind of person and look at them and say, well, I can't wait to have sex with you. I've been thinking about my ex-boyfriend all day, and I'm hoping that with you it'll be half as good as it was with him. That will slow that person down considerably. So people are not simply microwaves and ovens. And how to get people more on the same page, so to speak? Talk. Just talk about what works, what feels good to you. And some people, they want to feel connected before they can relax and let their bodies take over. And here's the thing. People come into the office, and a lot of these faster people, they say to the slower person, tell me what to do, and I'll do it. And they turn themselves into service providers. And they turn their partner into customers. And they basically want an arrangement where they say, if you, the customer, tell me what to do sexually to get you cooking, you know, I'll provide that as best I can. And then you, as the customer, you'll start to cook. And I think that's a recipe for disaster. What I tell the faster person is you need to find things to do that you like to do that it just so happens get the slower person cooking rather than having the other person give you a script and tell you, now, you know, 3 minutes with the left nipple and then 4 minutes with the right nipple and, you know, make sure you put your left hand here and put your right foot there, you know, like Twister, right? So I don't want to give the faster person a script because then they start to resent it after a while and it's not authentic. I'd rather that people do what they want to do and find the overlap.
I think it's okay to provide sexual service, though. I mean, I like the idea. I mean, sexual service can be hot, and it actually turns some people on to say, tell me exactly what you want, and I want to do that. But I don't think it's okay to kind of put this time limit on it and say, okay, if I do this, will you get turned on? Because sometimes, even if I give you the script and you follow the script, it doesn't work. And I kind of need to be prepared for that, like we all do. So I feel like it's okay to give the script, but, you know, you have to realize that things also happen, and I don't want to be held to, like, a certain time frame to get turned on.
I think the script which is okay if that's one of many different ways that people have of connecting sexually. But if the script is the only way, eventually people get bored with the same old thing, and eventually people get resentful that they feel locked into a certain script, and eventually the other person feels performance pressure. Like, well, since I told him that if he does A, B, C in that order, I'm going to get excited, that means that every time he does A, B, C, I'm going to have to respond. And if I'm not exactly as much in the mood this time as I was last time, or if I need a little more time or whatever, that's going to make a mess. So people start to feel performance pressure on one end of it, and they start to feel resentful on the other end. So it's fun to say, today you're going to service me, but to do that on a regular basis, for most couples, it simply doesn't work.
Right. Well, speaking of performance anxiety, that's what our next question is about. It's very long, so I'm going to try to summarize some sections. I apologize in advance to the person who wrote it, but we are on the radio. Okay, so this couple got married, and he says, I'm a 25-year-old male, and I think I might have ED, but I've been working on different techniques to try and manage it. So recently when my wife and I were getting things going, we were performing oral, and I try to hold on to my urges in order to make things last a bit longer than just a few seconds or a few minutes. I try and alternate things and help myself. But in the event that I try really hard not to orgasm yet, to delay, and it works, and I don't orgasm at all, then my wife feels like I'm not interested or sexually attracted to her, or that she can't turn me on. Although I try to explain to her that it's a lot more complicated than that. And if I don't try and hold back, then it's over really quickly and she gets out of the mood and then both of us feel unsatisfied. I'm very self-conscious about this and I feel like if I have an orgasm too quickly, she won't be satisfied. If I delay my orgasm or don't have one, she won't be satisfied. He sounds like he's between a rock and a hard or not hard place. What do you think?
What a mess.
I know.
What a mess. First of all, the guy doesn't have ED. For God's sake, the guy does not have ED, or as I like to say, don't get it up when you want to. I hate that expression, ED, because it first of all, it medicalizes what might be just the normal range of human response, and second of all, it takes the subjective element out of it. If you can't get an erection when you're angry, tired, lonely, hungry, and drunk, that's not ED, right? If you can't get an erection when you feel scared to death, that's not ED. If you can't get an erection when you hate your partner, that's not ED. So that said, it sounds like these people have built a mess on top of a mess on top of a mess. And what I would need to do with this couple is I would need to peel away the masses one by one. First of all, nobody gets to read somebody else's mind in a healthy sexual relationship. Nobody gets to say, I know what you're thinking, and nobody gets to say, I know what it means when you do this or you don't do that. Nobody gets to say, I know the meaning of your lost erection, or nobody gets to say, I know the meaning of you not being able to ejaculate when we have sex together. That's just looking for trouble. And that's true not only with sex, it's true with other things in a couple. People have to have the right to define their own behavior to each other. So, you know, if you go out for dinner and you're not in the mood to have a drink and your partner says, oh, the reason you don't want to drink is because you're mad at me. You know, that's not the right way to run a relationship. You've got to ask, what does it mean? And then you've got to believe the other person. So a lot of women, they don't get that sometimes men don't ejaculate for a lot of different reasons. You know, when you're 17, every guy, you know, ejaculates very quickly and very reliably. But by the time you're 25, certainly by the time you're 45, ejaculation is not guaranteed. And it doesn't necessarily mean that the woman's a failure, and it doesn't necessarily mean that the woman's not attractive or anything like that. So what I would tell these people is that you know, he has sort of developed this sexual routine in the attempt to satisfy her, but he didn't include her in the plan. So she doesn't know And she hasn't contributed to, well, you know, I appreciate that you want me to feel satisfied, but instead of doing it this way, maybe we could do it that way. So he's developed this plan without her, has implemented the plan, because the plan is flawed. The plan doesn't always work the way he wants it to. And then she's confused and dissatisfied, and then they're not connected enough to really work through it. So I would say they have to go back to the beginning and talk to each other and say, okay, what do we want from sex, and how do we want to put the sex together so that we create it, and do that together rather than one person trying to deliver the sexual goods to the other.
Yeah, I think we actually need to talk more about this, but we're going to take a break first and hear from our sponsors. We are, including Astroglide. Astroglide personal lubricants make sex better. Although Marty Klein, well, I think he's going to support
me. I agree. Lubricants make sex better.
Get a free sample. Find out how at astroglide.com. Stay with us. More with sex therapist Marty Klein when we return.
News, opinion.
Your voice counts. Call toll free 1-866-472-5787. 1-866-472-5787. VoiceAmerica.com.
Ready to take your sex life to the next level? Let Tristan Taramino's award-winning expert guide sex education series help. Each DVD is packed with honest information, explicit techniques, scorching sex scenes, authentic chemistry, and real female orgasms. Go to puckerup.com and use coupon code SEXOUTLOUD for 25% off your order.
This is Jennifer Pritchett from The Smitten Kitten. We're huge Tristan Taramino fans just like you, and we're so proud to be the presenting sponsor for Sex Out Loud. If you're not already familiar with Smitten Kitten, here's the deal. We're an education-based sex toys and supplies retailer. We sell high-quality, non-toxic, and artist-made sex toys, organic lubes, and all kinds of kinky stuff, including hard-to-find vegan options. We cater to an incredibly diverse clientele and specialize in helping you find new sexual interests, expand your sexual skill sets, and even troubleshoot sexual issues with you. We are here to help you feel confident and sexy. We spend a ton of time and energy curating our selection of products to make sure we have the best selection, be it silicone dildos, pegging and strap-on equipment, vibrators, or ethically made porn. Our mission is to make sex-positive culture accessible to everyone. Don't miss our free streaming explicit educational videos, many of which were directed by Tristan herself, on our website, smittenkittenonline.com. Get inspired by Tristan's amazing show, Sex Out Loud, and then visit us online at our Minneapolis location.
Follow us on Twitter at VoiceAmericaTRN. Get the lowdown on guests, new shows, and your favorites. That's VoiceAmericaTRN.
You're tuned in to Sex Out Loud with your host, Tristan Taramino. We want to hear from you. If you have a question or comment, please send an email to Tristan at PuckerUp.com. That's Tristan at PuckerUp.com. Now back to the show.
Welcome back to Sex Out Loud. We've been talking with my guest, sex therapist Dr. Marty Klein. And before the break, he was answering a question from one of our listeners. I just want to finish, round out that question by saying that I think that we have to allow for the fact that people have performance anxiety. And I think that these two need to have a conversation about that and really cut each other some slack. I feel like when you put more pressure on a situation where someone is coming very quickly or delaying and then not coming at all, when you then shame them for doing one or both of those things, it makes the situation 10 times worse. And this makes me think of a part of your book, Sexual Intelligence, which are these stories of your clients. I'm wondering what the biggest lesson your clients have taught you about sex is.
I guess I would say that you can't tell anything about a person's sex life just by looking at them. You can't tell anything about a person's sex life just by knowing a couple of superficial things about them, like I'm a dentist, or like I'm a grandmother, or like I'm 66 years old, or like I grew up in Pennsylvania, or like I'm a Lutheran. You can't tell anything about a person's sex life. No matter how much you know about them, you can't predict anything about their sex life unless you talk to them about their sex life. You can't tell just by knowing that someone is shy in real life. You can't tell whether they're going to be shy in bed or not. You can't tell whether somebody is big and powerful and self-confident in their job. You can't tell what their sex life is like. And my patients remind me about that all the time, where I'll be putting together their life story, and then they say, and then when it comes to sex, and I'll make a sharp right turn. I once had, early in my career, I lived in Santa Barbara. I practiced in Santa Barbara, and we're near Vandenberg Air Force Base. And I actually had a patient who was a missile silo commander. He had his finger on the button, basically. And his presenting problem was that he wore panties under his uniform. He was a colonel in the Air Force, and he wore panties to work every day, and he was terrified that he was going to get caught. Looking at this missile silo commander, you wouldn't guess he would be wearing panties under his uniform.
Right, right. And actually, that's not that big of a problem. But I guess if it causes you anxiety, it is. One of the things that I took away from the book, and I can always learn new things, but when I was reading Sexual Intelligence, there was this thread that ran throughout it about what I called at the top of the hour, radical acceptance. Accepting the way things are rather than focusing on the way things used to be or the way things you wish they were. And part of that is also letting go of what we think everyone else is doing that we're not doing. I mean, do you feel like that is a theme with your clients? Because it certainly came across in this book that it seemed like people were constantly trying to match themselves up against this mythical thing called great sex.
Yes, Tristan, I most certainly agree with that. We're pounded 24 hours a day with sexual imagery. We're pounded with ideas about sexuality, whether it's with the fashions that people wear on the street, with music, with stories on primetime television. We're just pounded with sexual imagery, and it's pretty consistent imagery. And most of us simply don't live up to or live down to those images. I mean, most of us don't have perfect bodies. Most of us don't have hours and hours and hours with which to have sex. Most of us do not get turned on with just 2 seconds of looking at someone's naked body. So it really is important that people accept. You know, here's another thing that I hear all the time. As soon as I lose those last 5 pounds, I'm going to feel better about myself and I can have better sex. And, you know, it might take 9 years for that person to lose that 5 pounds, or more realistically, they may never lose that 5 pounds. And, you know, whether our breasts are, I say that as women get older, their breasts don't droop, you know, they relax. Whether your breasts are relaxed or whether your penis is not as big as, some giant porn stars or whatever it is, that's probably not going to change tomorrow. If you're 51 years old and your breasts are not where they used to be when you were 25, tomorrow morning it's not going to be different. So either you're ineligible for sex for the rest of your life, or you figure out a way to say, people with breasts around their waist, you know, they can have enjoyable sex too. And okay, that's what you call this radical acceptance, which is our bodies are the way that they are, our time schedules are the way that they are. What is it that we can do with the resources that we have to create enjoyable sex, rather than keep saying, I can't have enjoyable sex until this other big thing is totally different?
Dr. Klein, another part of your book that is the reason that I would recommend it to so many people is that it seems to have a sense of hope that runs throughout. And by that, I mean, it seems like most people's problems are actually fixable. And you offer these strategies, which are really concrete. And so I'm wondering if you actually think that. Do you think most couples can come to sex therapy, can read several books like this one, and actually make it work.
Well, yeah, I do think that. And by the way, most couples don't need sex therapy. You know, most couples, if you just sit and talk to each other, you can work out a lot of different things. But I think that, yes, there is hope for most people that they can enjoy sex better if they will be more realistic about their expectations, if they will be more realistic that sex, they're not going to have Olympic sex. They're not going to have the best sex in the history of the world, and they're not going to have sex for 5 hours at a time. What's available for most people is to feel a little bit closer to their partner, to take a 30-minute break from the cares of the day or the cares of the week, to enjoy the body that they have, to enjoy their partner looking at their body and enjoying their body, and to enjoy a little bit of pleasure. And at the end of it, to feel, gee, that was nice. We have the power to create this nice experience together. And that's what people can have if they're willing to let go of expecting that they have to have sex like they did when they were 20, or sex like some famous movie star maybe did when they were 20.
Right, because we don't know if those are just stories. And certainly right. The sex that happens in these Hollywood movies, you know, is just, it's entirely unrealistic.
Yes,
it's part of the reason I like to, in my porn, show people using lube and then like dropping the lube bottle. I love to leave that stuff in because I feel like sex can be clumsy and funny and messy. And you say that in your book, that sex can be messy. And we sort
Absolutely.
Of... We have to embrace that rather than try to run away from it.
And that's why your show is so valuable, because you give people like me a chance to talk about sex the way that it really is. And you talk about that yourself, embracing the way that things are rather than comparing ourselves unfavorably to media images of sex.
And what do you think is one thing you wish everyone knew about sex?
I suppose I could say that lube makes sex better and tie everything all up into a little package, Tristan.
Oh, that would be nice.
Lube makes sex better. We don't use lube because we have a problem. We use lube because it makes sex more enjoyable. Don't wait until somebody feels pain or discomfort to use lube. Use lube every single time you have sex, and get in the habit of it, and keep it in the night table, not in the bathroom, unless, of course, you have sex in the bathroom.
Or you have a little sex slave to run and fetch it in the bathroom. Right?
Right.
Because we can all have goals. Thank you so much for being on the show, Dr. Klein. I really appreciate it. We're going to have you back because we barely made a dent in our listener questions.
Well, I've really enjoyed this, Tristan, and I'm so glad that you're out there doing these kinds of interviews. I really am.
Dr. Marty Klein's latest book is Sexual Intelligence: What We Really Want from Sex and How to Get It, published by HarperCollins. To find out more about him, visit sexed.org and martyklein.com. Read his monthly newsletter at sexualintelligence.org. Follow him on Twitter at Dr. Marty Klein. All these links and more can be found at sexoutloudradio.com. Click on the link for episode resources. Tune in next week for another edition of Sex Out Loud. Until then, I encourage you to keep the discussion going on facebook.com/asktristan, on Twitter at Sex Out Loud Radio, and in your own life. Take some time to talk about sex out loud.
That's a wrap on today's show. Go to voiceamerica.com to listen to this and other episodes on demand or as podcasts. And make sure you come back next Friday night at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific, for Sex Out Loud with Tristan Taramino on Voice America Variety. Sex Out Loud is brought to you by The Smitten Kitten, non-toxic quality sex toys and supplies. Visit smittenkittenonline.com.